I'm glad to see you all here. As far back as I can remember, we've been having these youth fellowships. I'd have to ask Stephen or Gavin to see exactly how many they were. 18? 18.
So, he's probably right.
Okay, 18. So that's a lot. I can't remember not having them. I've always liked youth meetings for the simple reason you get to have a good excuse to hear some lessons, to hang out and have some fun. Now, my topic today is teenage adults and elderly children. It's a little misnomer, but the title's a little strange, but it has to do with the idea that age does not produce anything other than, wrinkles. You don't get wiser. You don't get more mature. You don't all of a sudden have more knowledge the day of your birth each year than you did the previous year. Your age does not make you smarter, wiser, or more mature. You may be bigger or smaller depending on the length of time, but that's about it. I thought of a few ways to try and handle this topic because it's not exactly the easiest to handle just by one approach. And there's a lot that I wanted to say both to the young people and the not-so-young people. I thought the best way would be to look at various situations in the Bible and the age of the person and the action they took to drive home a basic truth, and that is your age does not determine whether or not you're wise. Wisdom is not something that simply comes because you're a year older. Now, young people these days, I think, get a pretty bad rap. They have a pretty poor view of young people these days. They're, teenagers all crummy, there's not a lot of good ones. Well, there's also a lot of crummy adults, and there's also a lot of crummy older people. So there's just a lot of crummy people. So you got to try and be one of the ones that aren't crummy. And at times I've found it tempting when someone already thinks something of me to act that way. Because if I'm already going to get the consequence of acting that way, I might as well go have the fun of trying to act that way. I've told my mom several times, if you come home and chew me out because I didn't clean something the way you wanted me to clean it, don't expect me to ever clean again because I'm getting chewed out either way. I'm playing video games instead of cleaning. It's kind of that idea. And I think it's easy when you're a teenager to kind of have that mindset. It's like, if you don't expect anything of me, if you expect me to do nothing, then I might as well just do nothing. Because if I'm going to get treated the same way either way, might as well. Well, I want to spend some time in looking at what God thinks of young people. In Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 13, it says, "Better a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who will be admonished no more." Here, an inspired writer is saying that there is such a thing as a wise youth. Now, I know some of you may be shocked, but that is a truth. Unfortunately, there are some that will look at you like you just told them the moon is made of candy if you told them that someone as young as a teenager could be wise. It shouldn't be that way, because God recognizes that teenagers can be wise, that young people can be wise. Let's look at an example of a young person who I'd say is the poster boy of young people when it comes to wisdom and doing what's right. Turn to 1 Samuel 3 and verse 1. "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation." Here's Samuel. If you want the picture of a young person who's doing good, who's wise, you want to pick Samuel. Now, if someone tells you you're not old enough to be able to do something for God, like you're not old enough to lead a prayer, but you're a Christian, or you're not old enough to serve, a good thing to say to them is, "Well, I'm the same age that Samuel was when he was this age." That's a circular statement. But the idea is, Samuel started from the very beginning. And he started training, and he started working. And in this chapter, he's very young, yet God speaks to him. Now, there were other prophets, like Eli, that God could have been speaking to, but he chose to speak with Samuel. In fact, in this chapter, it speaks of the first time God spoke to Samuel. Samuel is still very young at this point, most likely still what we would call a child. he goes and answers as if Eli is calling him. And he continues to do this. Eli calls, you know, he hears what he thinks is Eli calling him. He goes and he responds. And Eli says, go back to bed. I didn't call you. So he goes back to bed and continues to do that. And there's, in this chapter, there's many hints that tell you about what age Samuel most likely was. Not in specifics, but in generalities. But we see some of the goodness in him. Personally, if you call me and I come over and you say, go back to bed, a couple times in, I'm going to start ignoring you. In fact, you might only get one, and I'm just like, you know what? It wasn't that important, because otherwise you wouldn't have told me to go back. Well, that's not what Samuel did. One thing that is important to note from this passage is that God will use young people. He will use a young person that's willing to be used. Let's look at another young person now. In 2 Kings chapter 22 and verses 1 through 2, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn to the right hand or to the left. Josiah was not even a teenager when he became king. There's a saying that absolute power corrupts absolutely. Well, if ever there was an opportunity for someone to grow up rotten, that this was it. He was a king since the time he was 8. He had power from a very young age to be able to do pretty much whatever he wanted to do. Yet it says that he did not turn from doing what was right in the sight of God. Let's read another passage about him in 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 25. Now before him there was no king like him, who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the laws of Moses. Nor after him did any arise like him. Now this is said about King Josiah, that king who started being king at such a young age. Now, one of the things that I find most amazing about this is if you look at all of what it says about the different kings in Kings and in Chronicles, even some of the greatest kings will have exception notes. Like King David, for instance, it says, King David was a man after God's own heart, except in the case of Uriah. And that's pretty much a standard when it comes to the kings. You might have a king who is, and he did right all the days of his life, except for this part. For instance, Uzziah. It was said of his son did all that his father did in doing the will of God, except he did not enter the temple like Uzziah did. See this exception that's noted about these kings that are good kings, yet there's nothing like that for Josiah. What does that tell us? Well, that means there was no case like that. There was no note where God felt it necessary to say, except for this part. That means even when he was young, even when he was ruling as a teenager, he didn't have those exceptions. He didn't have a time where he did something incredibly horrible like David did. Now, I'm not saying he was perfect. What I'm saying is he didn't have a situation like entering the temple when he was not supposed to. Now let's look at four other young men that many of you are aware of, though they usually go by different names, in Daniel chapter 1 and verses 3 through 4. Then the king instructed Aspenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. Note that the writer here marks them as young men. This is important. Notice they were looking for ones gifted in wisdom and knowledge. So you have them looking for young people, but as well, the ones that are wise and knowledgeable. This suggests that they believe that there was such men. This again is a proof that such young people exist, yet they're not really that common because they did have to look for them. Let's continue reading in Daniel chapter 1 and verses 11 through 14. So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented with them in the matter, and tested them 10 days. Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah all decide not to defile themselves with the king's delicacies. Most likely this has to do with the fact that the king was not observing the law of Moses, and therefore wouldn't be keeping to only the things that were considered clean food and not versus not clean food. So they proposed to hold to their beliefs and to not stray, and were able to convince the eunuch to allow it. Let's look now at the result of that. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. To think that these young men were so wise. The thing I want you to remember here is that they were called young. Now notice that the magicians and astrologers, they don't have that same adjective. There's nothing said about them being young. So there's no limit on their age. In fact, it says all the magicians and all the astrologers that were in the king's realm. The king had access to the best. If he wanted an astrologer who was better than another one, he's just like, all right, you're going to come work for me now. And that's just the way it was. So that's how wise these young men were. They were wiser than all of the magicians and astrologers, regardless of the age of those astrologers. So if you have like the really old astrologer or magician, they were wiser than them too. Well, what does that mean to us? It means a young person can be wiser than a not so young person. Now let's change gears a little bit and look at some people who acted one way while they were young and another as they aged. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 26, and we're going to look at Uzziah, which I mentioned earlier. Now, Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Now, Uzziah was young when he became king. In fact, he was a teenager. It says that he did right in the sight of God. It said that he sought after what the Lord would say, all the good things. You know, we have all these good things that are mentioned about him. Though there is some concerning language here in these verses. Notice that it said the days of Zechariah, not the days of his life. Notice the phrase where it says, as long as. That suggests a problem down the road. That suggests that sometime he didn't continue what he was doing when he first started off when he was young. We can see that as being true in 1 Chronicles 26 and verse 16. It says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. So we have an undetermined period of time that goes by, that elapsed from when he first became king. Now, if you read these chapters, you'll read of things that he did in order to become strong, and it says at this verse that is when he had become strong. And those things take time. So we know that a good period of time has gone by, but we don't exactly know how much. One thing to note is at this point he had a son who was at least a teenager or older. So that gives us some scope of how old he most likely was. And at this time he does something that's very foolish. Because he is strong now, because over the years he's relied on God and he's gotten things that otherwise he might not have gotten, he thinks it's because of himself. And he takes it upon himself to enter the temple of God and to offer when he has not been given permission. Now this is a very serious offense to God. It is not something that he takes lightly. The thing is, if anyone ever tells you, well, it's not condemned to worship this way. Ask them, but is it permitted? Do we have permission? Because when it comes with, to God, he takes it very seriously when you do things in Hindu worship that he did not say you could do. You see, Uzziah was never told you can't enter the temple by a verse and offer. What was said is a certain group could, and he was not a part of that group. And that's why he was not allowed. In fact, what happened to him is he became a leper for the rest of his life for doing it. The thing I want you to notice from this is that when he was young, he did that which was wise. He followed God. And when he got older is when he started acting foolish. Let's look at another king, at Joash. In 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and verses 1 through 3, Joash was 7 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibah of Beersheba. Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada, the priest. And Jehoiada took two wives for him, and he had sons and daughters. Now Joash became king at 7. You're starting to notice a pattern of these kings, all young kings. Have you noticed that generally all of them started off doing good? But the difference is where they go after that. Again, like Uzziah, he did what was right in the sight of God, but again, there's that bad language. All the days of someone else, not all the days of his life. We read later in 2 Chronicles in chapter 24, verses 20 through 22, let's read that, about where he started to go wrong. Then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, who stood above the people and said to them, "Thus says God, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has also forsaken you." So they conspired against him, and at the command of the king, they stoned him with stones in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king did not remember the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but killed his son. And as he died, he said, "The Lord look on it and repay." We see that as he aged, he went down the wrong road. He started off on a good one. He started off doing what was right. And then he took a sharp left turn. Later, if you continue to read, you see that the king Joash wasn't even buried with the other kings because of the way he lived the last part of his life, because of the wickedness that he had. I think by now you can start to see what I'm trying to say. That growing older does not make one wiser. That there's not a connection between the two. That simply growing older will automatically make you wiser. So what does that mean for us? Looking at what that means for teenagers, for young people, for older people, what does that mean? Well, since I've been concentrating on teenagers and young people, let's start there. Now you've become a teenager, and you've hit or maybe you're getting close to hitting those double digits. I don't know your exact age. What does that mean for your wisdom? Not a thing. You're not wiser than you were a year ago simply because you're a year older. Just as we've been saying from all of these examples and all of these things, people didn't become wiser because they got older. That doesn't go in line. A young person can be wise. A young person can be foolish. Depends on how they act. Increasing in age neither gives you wisdom or knowledge. A child going to a teenager does not become wiser. A young person going to an adult does not become wiser. An adult becoming older does not become wiser. It is what you do with the knowledge that you have that'll make a person wise or foolish. Now, I'm saying all this not because I'm perfect or I'm wise or I know everything. I've done foolish things. A lot of those times was when I was much younger. In fact, the fact that I'm saying this is because I know that when I went from being a child to a teenager, I thought I knew everything. It wasn't the case. I may have had a lot of knowledge, but I didn't have the wisdom to apply that knowledge correctly. I want to give you an example from my own life of that. When I was in middle school, the principal from the high school came and talked to the eighth graders. Now, when she did, she told us all about how the system would work for you to graduate from high school. The idea was to encourage people that, you know, it's not that hard, work hard, and you'll be able to do it. Well, in high school, I had an average GPA of right about 1.6. Now, if you know GPAs, that's horrible. That is below a C average. That is right around the D average range. When I was a 7th grader and an 8th grader, I had a 4.0 average. I can remember the day it changed. It was when that principal came and explained to me, this is how it works. And as she was explaining it, I realized, oh, so you mean I don't have to do really anything and I'll still graduate. So all this work that I'm doing, I don't have to do it all. I can just, you know, do a little bit here, a little bit there, play the system, tell the teachers this, then do something else, and I'll be able to graduate anyway. That's what I heard when she explained it. But I was being foolish. That wasn't wise. That's what I did in high school. I blew off homework. If something looked like it was going to be hard, I was like, whatever, I'm going to play video games. So I only did that which piqued my interest. And even then, I didn't do that all the time. Now, I actually did manage to graduate, but I set myself up to have a harder road to walk. I was giving myself a poor work ethic. I was giving myself the idea that you can just not do a whole lot and still be okay. And let me tell you, that doesn't work. Sooner or later down the road, you hit a wall because you're digging a little ditch each day. So if you take a shovel and you walk outside your house and you take one shovel of dirt and you throw it over, you don't have a very big hole. So you think, what's the big problem? No one can get hurt in that hole. You do that day after day after day. Pretty soon you have a pretty big ditch. And it's a lot easier to fall in and not be able to get out. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 6 and verses 6 through 11. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest? How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep? So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. So that problem was I was going down a road that didn't lead to a good place. I was setting myself up for failure. I was being foolish. Since high school, I've had to fight the temptation to just slack off. Just be like, whatever, I'll deal with that tomorrow. I've had to deal with procrastination. We tend to have lessons on things that the teachers themselves are having issues with. So that's why we tend to have lessons like that. This means every day I have to fight the urge to just roll over and not get up. Otherwise, I know the potential consequences of doing that. I know if I put things off too long, bad things happen. In fact, one of my coworkers was fired recently for this very thing. He would continue to just, I'll just put it off. I'll do it later. And then pretty soon he hadn't done it in 6 months. And our audit shows a really bad thing. Now, though I did graduate, and you could say I got away with a small amount of consequences for my actions, I could have had much bigger consequences very easily. I wasn't being wise. I was simply being lazy and foolish. The point I'm trying to make is that just because I got older, I didn't get wiser. In fact, I would say I got dumber because I had more knowledge and I used it the wrong way. The point is, what determines if you're wise or not is if you apply God's word. Because you can have a whole lot of knowledge of God's word, but if you don't apply it, it doesn't do you any good. In fact, it's probably hurting you more than anything. We need to be applying God's word. Because I knew of this passage. I knew of all of the passages that speak about people being lazy and putting work off and what it meant. I already knew all that. But I wasn't wise enough to apply it. I want to wrap this all up with talking about a passage I think is important for young people, and one that when I was younger, I didn't really look at it correctly. That's 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 12 through 13. And if you go to youth fellowships, I guarantee you, you will hear this passage over and over and over and over again. It's, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. When I used to read this, I used to be like, yeah, those adults did not despise my youth. You know, them older people need to recognize that young people can be good, young people can do what's right, and they can be examples in all of these things. You know, that's what I read into this verse. Notice the phrase I used. I read into it, not from it. Although I do think that young people need to be given a certain bit of credit, that older people need to look at them with a little bit more respect than they tend to get, that has absolutely nothing to do with what this verse is talking about at all. Notice that it doesn't say anything about older people in this. It specifically mentions youth. It's talking to young people. Young people, this is what you need to do. You need to be an example. You need to not give them any legitimate reason to put you down because you're young, because they're already going to be looking for it. The idea from the way this is worded is there are going to be older people who will look down on you because you are young. Do not give them anything that they can legitimately say about you. You have to be an example to them all the time, because otherwise, you're just playing into that same old game of doing what they already think you're going to do. You know, I would word it like, don't give them a reason to think of you as just some little punk, because they might think of you that way anyway. Act in such a way that over time, they have nothing but good things to say about you. That even though they would look at any other young person and say, there's just some young person, they don't think of that way about you. This verse is talking about how young people are supposed to act. And that is what is important. What I'm trying to say, to summarize all of this, is that becoming a teenager doesn't make you any wiser than you were when you were a child. Becoming an adult doesn't make you wiser than when you were a teenager. Age is not something that automatically gives you wisdom. You have to grow in wisdom. It's not a passive action. It doesn't just happen to you. You have to do it. And the way that you become wiser, the way that you become more mature, is by applying God's word, is by learning and being obedient to God. We need you to be growing in obedience and in wisdom. Now, I've heard people say that teenage Christians are the church of the future. I disagree with that statement. Teenage Christians are the church of right now. And we need you right now to be growing, to becoming more wise, and to serve. Because pretty soon, those older people won't be here anymore. And we'll have a whole new crop of teenagers that we're going to need to be growing and maturing and becoming more wise. You are the church of right now, and we need you. I hope that this lesson has been informative. I hope it's been encouraging. I didn't get to speak as much to the older people as I wanted to. I had some things to say about that as well. But at this time, we're going to close with a song, and then we're going to have a few announcements and then a break. Thank you.